So let us join together to worship God. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God will not always accuse, nor will God keep God's anger forever. As far as the east is from the west, so far God removes our transgressions from us. As a parent has compassion for their children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. So let us join together to worship God as we sing. Let us join to pray. Let us pray. Our desire, our need, our yearning draws us to worship you. Unexplainable, unimaginable, unbelievable, incomprehensible love pulls at our heartstrings, challenges our intellect, turns our eyes beyond the seeing. All-encompassing God, just as we are, we stop to worship you. Forgiving God, more willing to forgive than often we are to confess. Help us to see our failings, to see where individually we fall short, to see where we deceive ourselves, where we close our eyes and our ears to the ripples of our wrongdoing. May we breathe in the reality of our actions, the need to change, and the depth of our unworthiness. We come before you seeking your forgiveness. Lord, we breathe in the power of your forgiveness. We breathe out the need to live and love in the shadow of your forgiveness of us, that we may forgive as you have forgiven us. Thank you and help us. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So a warm welcome to this service today, which is a service of worship to the glory of God, and also our annual general meeting. If we are church, then everything about us is the work of God. So let's hear Glyn's report, then we will sing, then Martin's report, then we will sing, and then we will go further into our worship.
Hello everyone. I will start with telling you about the groups we run during the week. On Monday mornings we run Jolly Toddlers for parents and carers and their young children. The attendance was gradually increasing until lockdown. We have since gone online via Facebook with song and story sessions. On Wednesday mornings we run a very popular Tots Praise group. For some of the young children and families, this is the only link to church and worship. We have been running Tots Praise for 5 years in October. Since lockdown sessions, we have been running via Facebook. In future, sessions will be on Zoom. Stay and Play, which once a month on the Saturday afternoon, provides a safe place for parents, carers and children to participate in creative and play activities based on the story. Family families are gently encouraged to explore some of our more popular worship-based activities, such as Tots Praise and Messy Church. Numbers were increasing prior to lockdown. The day of Messy Church was changed from a Monday after school to a Sunday afternoon once a month. This change saw an increase in families attending, that is, until lockdown. We will explore the practicality of running Messy Church online. Obviously, since lockdown, we have not been running young people's Sunday groups. However, the Bible story, activity and colouring sheets have been made available to parents via emails since the lockdown. Sally is now doing the children's talk during the 10:30 Zoom service on Sundays and is appearing in person at the 5 p.m. service, doing a more adult introduction to the Bible theme. Finally, I would like to thank Sally and the volunteers who run these groups.
Good morning, I'm Martin Verge and I'm the current Church Secretary here at Kingston United Reformed Church. This is my first report as Church Secretary and it's certainly been an interesting time to have taken on the role. On the day that the March Church meeting agreed to my appointment, I was at home unwell. COVID-19? I don't know. Hayen, my wife, was also unwell, with what the hospital described as a chest infection that could be COVID related. However, at the time, only people being admitted to hospital were being tested, so we may never know. She was sent home with antibiotics and we were told to isolate. Already the church had leapt into action and we were very grateful to G.A. Kim, So-Yong Jung and Rhiannon Bone, who delivered us food during our isolation. By the time our self-isolation was over, coronavirus was everywhere and the country was in full lockdown. Had you noticed that between September last year and March 2020 that we didn't have a church secretary? I expect mostly not. Why? Largely because of Cathy Seymour. Even though she'd officially given up as church secretary in the autumn last year, she was still helping keeping things going. And we owe her a great debt for that. But I must also mention other former church secretaries, Denise Scorer and Vaughan James, who were also supporting Leslie during the gap. And as I took over the role, Cathy was very helpful in showing me where everything was kept and providing all the key documents on a USB stick. And that has proved invaluable when we were suddenly thrown into a virtual world of lockdown. What have our ministers been doing with all their free time, you may ask? If you think that lockdown meant Leslie was at home with a good book and a cup of tea, or watching the TV all day like some of us, you couldn't be more wrong. She has been tireless in leading us through these extraordinary times. Many of us have met her, socially distanced of course, at our front door when she popped round to see how we were doing. Many were the Skype and Zoom meetings and much the thinking and praying as she led us in putting a whole new virtual infrastructure for the church in place. And Sugim? Well, far from endless green tea and kimchi, he was working as hard as ever. We are grateful to both of them for their continued devoted service, and not forgetting that they too have families and relatives for whom they have been deeply concerned. How many of you have joined and valued the online services? How we worship in lockdown had to be worked out from scratch. We've learned and experimented as we've gone along, and we now have what feels like part of the routine when we join Zoom each Sunday morning. Our thanks go to Sugin, who videos the sermons and then adds the subtitles in Korean and English. Translating some of the English phrases has not been easy. As an aside, virtual services have opened my eyes, at least, to the possibilities of engaging with people who can't get to the services in the building. It has been lovely to see people joining from other parts of the country and the world, but also some who live nearby, but prior to lockdown, who just couldn't get to the building. Have you been getting regular calls or other communications from the church friends? This doesn't all happen by accident. With Leslie, Sue Shaw and the pastoral group had to very quickly set up a new system for pastoral care. With a team of about 20 or so others, they've been keeping in touch with everyone we had contact details for. Contact that has been really appreciated. Have you benefited from the online information, sermons and service audio files? The church website and Facebook pages have been valuable assets during this time. Thanks to the work of John and Sue Watts and Stuart Chandler, supported by others including Holly Christie, these sites are regularly updated with the latest information and audio files of services and sermons from previous weeks. Have you joined some of the many other activities that allow us to keep in contact with each other and with God? The daily coffee mornings hosted by Rhiannon Bone, but with support from Carol Clack, Teresa James, Maddie Ann Lazark and Diane Slater. The 2 p.m. prayer meetings with a different person hosting each day. The Wednesday Bible study groups, with great material provided by Ken Bartlett and shared in the meetings hosted by Rachel and James Mason and Ken Bartlett and Stuart Chandler. There is the Thursday evening soiree hosted by Janine Goddard, and now the Healthy Lifestyles group on a Friday. Not forgetting, of course, the daily thought and prayer that Teresa James shares. Thank God for Zoom and Skype that enable all these activities to run. Thank God too for people like Stuart Chandler and Rhiannon Bone, who've spent a lot of time helping people get set up and resolving technical issues. Have you been grateful for a card or call or message from someone? We were certainly grateful for some cards we received early on, and they prompted me to send some too. I know of others who appreciated these small acts done quietly without any organisation. So thank you if you've been involved in that. The one area which has sadly lost some focus is our outreach to others. We have looked after each other pretty well, I think, but lost touch with many foyer gifts and others. But even here, there have been some good things happening. How many of you have been in touch with friends and family more than usual? And how many of those occasions have included conversations about the big issues and enabled you to share some of your faith's view? And what a fantastic effort for Christian Aid Week. The ministers and others each walking their 300,000 steps in May. The annual Christian Aid quiz, done over Zoom, though it proved a challenge, ended up being a great success. Not least because for the first time ever, a team from the parish church didn't win. Thanks to Richard Scorer and Ray Charlton for all their work organising this. As a result of this effort, Kingston was able to send to Christian Aid this year more than ever before. Have you missed the recitals in the church building? It was great that one could take place, if virtually. And what a treat to hear Elgar's Enigma Variations for Piano, played from her home by Constance Choi. Thanks to John Fisher and others for their involvement in making this happen, and for the donations that went to the Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness for their valuable work with homeless people. And finally, a small mention for those who have kept in touch with some of the regular building users through casual meetings in the street while out exercising, to the more regular contacts where we have known people's phone numbers or addresses. Thanks to all of you involved in that. I'm sure there's been a whole host of other things going on, and I apologise if I have not mentioned you and your contribution. But God knows who you are and what you've been doing. What a year it's been. The COVID pandemic is far from over, so there is much more to do. But I think we've laid some good foundations on which to build in the months ahead. And as we are often reminded, we do not do this alone. God is with us every step of the way.
So we move on to reflect on the Word of God, and Sally will introduce this theme to us.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm going to do something a little bit different. At one point in my talk, I would like to get some ideas from you, and rather than you unmuting yourselves, we're going to try and use the chat function on Zoom. Some of you will know what that is, but if you want to give an idea, you can click on the icon that says chat and you can type in your idea and we'll be able to see what it is you want to say to us. Just for the children's talk, the all age talk, not throughout the minister's sermon or anything like that, okay? I've been thinking lots of events sadly got cancelled this year. The Olympic Games, Wimbledon, that was a particularly difficult one for me because I absolutely love watching Wimbledon. And That was sad because we didn't get to enjoy them, but also because I know that the athletes and the sports men and women had been training hard for them. But hopefully they will be able to prepare and take part next year. And gosh, you know, we can look forward to that maybe. But I wonder what kind of things you have to practice over and over again. For me, I have just started doing Pilates again. And I know that if I want to be able to stand on one leg with my eyes closed, I'm going to have to practice that over and over again until I get it right without falling down. So if you want to have a think about things that you have to persevere with, things that you have to do over and over again, and if you click on the chat button at the bottom of your screen, well, it's at the bottom of my screen anyway, you can type your message and your suggestion, and hopefully we'll all be able to see it. So if anyone's got any suggestions. I'm thinking about people like Han Sol. I'm sure she doesn't play the piano the way that she does without practicing over and over again. And Rhiannon has said the piano, yeah. And of course, Rhiannon, I bet she has to practice her singing over and over again as well to be able to sing that beautifully too. Anyone else? John Frey, practicing using Zoom, yeah. That is really something that we've all been having to do. Leslie, complicated step aerobic routines. I did step aerobics about twice, and I know that that is very complicated, and I was just a beginner. So yeah, I get that. Rhiannon says she doesn't practice as often as she should. Still manages to sound lovely though, doesn't she? I'm thinking people have to practice their dance moves. I don't know if anyone's excited about Strictly Come Dancing. But those people will have, yeah, Janine's going, yes. Those people will have to do that over and over and over again in order to get it just right. Going to the gym, writing, reading, musical instruments. Myrtle and Linda, practice taking more breaks during the working day. Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good, healthy one. Catherine, trying out recipes from a long time ago. Yeah, I've been trying out recipes, actually. It's been a good time to be able to try out new foodstuffs. Teresa and Vaughan, yoga, including what I find more challenging. Yeah, that's right. Thank you for those suggestions. Lots of things that we have to do over and over again. And I wonder, why do we have to keep doing those things? And I wonder if we ever feel like giving up. I wonder if we wonder if it'll ever really make a difference. Well, today, through our Bible reading and our service, we will hear about doing something over and over again. And I think what we're asked to do in the Bible reading is much harder than actually some of the things that we've just been suggesting. And I wonder what difference it will make doing that thing, and we'll find out what that is in a minute. I wonder what difference it will make for us and for others as well. Thank you.
So Alistair Borthwick will read the scriptures to us as a parable from the everyday life of the empire about this thing, and the relationships between the disciples depend on perpetually building it up.
Reading from the Good News Bible, and the reading has the heading, The Parable of the Unforgiving Servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, if my brother keeps on sinning against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? 7 times? "No, not 7 times," answered Jesus, "but 70 times 7, because the kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a king who decided to check on his servants' accounts. He'd just begun to do so when one of them was brought in who owed him millions of pounds. The servant did not have enough to pay his debt, so the king ordered him to be sold as a slave with his wife and children and all that he had in order to pay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before the king. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay you everything.' The king felt sorry for him, so forgave him the debt and let him go. Then the man went out and met one of his fellow servants who owed him a few pounds. He grabbed him and started choking him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he said. His fellow servant fell down and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had him thrown into jail until he should pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were very upset and went to the king and told him everything. So he called the servant in. 'You worthless slave,' he said, 'I forgave you the whole amount you owed me just because you asked me to. You should have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you.' The king was very angry, and he sent the servant to jail to be punished until he should pay back the whole amount." And Jesus concluded, "That is how my Father in heaven will treat every one of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Amen.
Warm welcome to those of you who are just checking in for the video, not joining us on Zoom. This is our annual general meeting. Don't let that put you off. We are speaking of eternal truths, though we work them out locally. We're very glad to speak to any one of you. If you need us and want to chat, even if you just want to chat, just to spend some time, that would be fine. The text that I'm basing my word on today is from Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. Please read the story and then come back. So imagine trying to write a report facing towards the future, which is my task as one of the ministers in the annual general meeting, in a time like this. Hilarious. So I thought the most interesting thing to do would be to look back at what has the potential to be the most embarrassing bit of preaching for 2019. What did I say in my future-facing talk at the annual general meeting in 2019? And the good news is I spoke the truth. Message was and is, it's all about connection. This passage in Matthew speaks about the importance of the depth of the spirit that is needed in relationships, relationships with God and relationships with each other. And the good news is that external events do not change the truths that we believe in. How we live may be altered, but on our best days, we live out of our eternal truths, living them day by day, when we're together and when we're apart. Knowing what are our guiding principles, that's vital for each one of us. And this strange passage highlights some of them, things that will guide us into our future, so that we can check out the truth of what we believe and what we are experiencing, even at this time when we find ourselves to be in the fog. So forgiveness. We make mistakes. Jesus doesn't want the job. He has left the job to us. People mess things up, all of us. How do we deal with that in ourselves and in others? Jesus says to Peter, you need to be generous. Generous with one another. And that's a guiding principle. Generosity of hospitality, of assumptions in relationships. The message is that relationships between the disciples will perpetually be based on forgiveness. It's not easy to forgive. That doesn't make it wrong. Unforgiveness only damages us. Which leads on to another principle, the importance of relating to others, togetherness. Church is about us, not me and my special relationship with Jesus alone. That's important, but you and your coughing and your subtitles, or the noise that your phone makes, or the noises that you make when you should be muted, they don't get in my way of my relationship with Jesus. They are part of my spiritual journey. They make it. Being a follower of Jesus is not a solo pursuit. It involves us relating to that pain in the neck collection of people that God calls the church. Human beings for whom Jesus gave his life. This story in Matthew is meant to be funny and it's meant to be serious. The amounts of money are fantastic. Think zillions. The horrific ending of the story, with the selfish slave getting his comeuppance, is more Tom and Jerry cartoon than real life. And that leads on to another principle of a living life of the church, is that we need to be people who study the Bible. Not swallow nonsense wholesale, but use the brains that God has given us and give the scriptures time. It's been, for some people, one of the joys of lockdown, having time in God's word. The message, though, is that what is worth being thought of as a principle is what's deciding what is right is beyond what is fast, what is easy, and what is fun. And what could be harder than forgiving? And equally, what could be more helpful to our society? The message of the story is that one day we will have to give an account for how we have lived. There is right and there is wrong. What have we been doing with our time during this season? It's known to God, all of it. What we've been watching, what we've been reading, how we've been relating to others, the thoughts in our heads, our priorities, our levels of fear. God will ask us, how did we use our time, our money, our bodies, our gifts? It's one of the impressive things about Kingston United Reformed Church, which drives some people wild, is that we use the principle of the generosity of God and the importance of mission as a yardstick for how we make our choices. Of course, life would be easier if we chopped and stopped, but that wouldn't be right. How will our mission be shaped into our future? Who knows? But it will exist. It will be beyond the current part of our community towards those who are outside and into our future. We do not know how things will pan out. We do know that God will be with us in the middle of the storm and as we rebuild. But we must behave into the future in ways that match what we say we believe in. Generosity, based on the scriptures, loving each other, facing outwards in mission, forgiving each other, and knowing that God, who has given all for us, God, who in Jesus has avoided the shortcuts, expects that we will be modelling in our relationships the abundance that God has given us in the church and out of it. Amen.
So I invite Sue Shaw to share with us the pastoral notices. No, I don't. You know, there's a regular pool of people that we keep in contact with. Martin's already spoken about it. I have to say that I have a whole list of pastoral notices that have come to me this week, which I will share with you. David Ross, who many of you know, is currently unwell and is in St Helier Hospital, and we're asked to pray for him. Anne McFarlane has had a fall this week. She was taken into Kingston. Yes, she's maybe got a bone broken in her foot, but currently she is at home and is unable to walk. We've had a request for prayer for somebody in the wider community of our church whose mother is in Kingston Hospital, having become ill at home. And this family has sustained the mother at home and cared for her, and now they are not able to visit, and it's, as you can imagine, very difficult. We're asked to pray for a member of the church who is currently unemployed, who has applied for 500 jobs. Just pause with that one. 500 jobs. And this week is going for 2 job interviews to pray for that person. And then Ken Bartlett tells us of a friend of his, a lifelong friend of his, who has been fighting cancer for 2 years and is now approaching the end of her life. She was his first colleague when he set up Paddington Church's Housing Association. She is his closest friend, and the prospect of her dying is devastating. And then Liz Cook sends the message that of news of Anne Mallington, who has died following from complications arising from surgery. She was one of our coffee bar volunteers. She will be much missed, and we're asked to remember her family. I'm asked to remind you of those who are going into the building, that could you please remember to wipe each surface that you've touched as you leave, for the sake of those coming in behind you. And then this week we start Bible studies on the Old Testament prophets, the scriptures of Jesus, the words that Jesus quoted when he talked about the future. We're aiming to make this as accessible to as many as possible, not only on Zoom, but also on the phone for those who don't have online facilities. If that's you, would you please speak to Stu Chandler and he'll make this happen. And I invite you to remember the gift day approaching on the 27th of September. There'll be the show and tell event on the 26th at 3 o'clock and a quiz on the Friday night at 7:30. The challenge to do something that some are picking up with the Big Eight Kingston URC Gift Day Challenge. I don't know what you're doing, but I ask that it goes well. But for now, let us pray. God, forgiver, friend. Your kingdom children find this so hard to forgive till it hurts, to restore love and faith to those who wounded us. We pray for those relationships that we know are in need of forgiveness. These are challenges which test us to the core. Give us the courage and strength to put on the garments of reconciliation. We pray for those people who at home have been aware of people that they need to forgive. For families where there is division, for those who have discovered that actually their relationship is based on nothing and it is the end. For those who've discovered that life is meaningless, Lord, be with them. For those who have been bitter and angry and have allowed that to spill out in their relations with others, help them to ask for forgiveness. Where hearts are hard like Pharaoh's, let the spirit of Joseph break through our walls. We pray for forgiveness for those places in the world where there is conflict. Help the nations to take risks of renewal through patient diplomacy and genuine motivation, so that age-old enemies can look into each other's eyes and pain-filled history find healing and hope. May the ways of Jesus, your precious forgiving child, still inspire people of all faiths and backgrounds, so that your longing for us to be one family, one community, may become a reality in more and more places. and when it is too hard for us. Let your mercy cover us again and again. Lord, we pray. Amen. So for the reason why we need a gift day, Kathy will now give us the financial report.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to read the treasurer's summary, and our thanks go to Christine Chippendale for preparing this summary. It is in two parts. First, the financial accounts for 2019-20. The financial accounts have been recently completed, but have yet to be presented to the independent examiner, and there will be some small adjustments. The accounts show a deficit that's just short of £30,000, but in fact this was less than the deficit that was agreed for the budget for that year. The report and the accounts are now available for members to view on request. The second is a summary of where we are in relation to our budget this year, which has been adjusted in response to the effects of the pandemic. We are now 5 months into the new financial year. The revised budget made the following assumptions: that we will pay the four M&Ms for the year, that our charitable donations will remain the same, that the government's furlough scheme will cease from the end of October, that our lettings and premises income will gradually ramp up towards the end of the financial year from a very low place, and that there will be no pay rise for the staff, although this does still remain under review. Expenditure has been cut back as much as possible, and the expected reduction in income will not cover our expected costs. Based on our current assumption, this year's deficit will be approximately, hold your breaths, £80,000. The church's reserves at the end of March this year amounted to £281,000, of which £150,000 relates to unrestricted funds. It is almost certain that reserves will be needed to be used to support the church for this year and maybe future years. In terms of income, August has been a good month for us. Donations were up on previous months, and we received the first quarter of our gift aid funds. However, we do have some large bills to pay and expect that future months will return to the situation where expenditure exceeds income by several thousand pounds. That's the end of the report. Thank you.
Thanks to Kathy, thanks to Martin. Shall we just have a quick chorus of "If You're Happy and You Know It"? £80,000, Lord have mercy. So let's dedicate our offering and move to our Holy Communion. Lord God, we bring to you the ordinary things of life, food and drink and money, and with them our very selves. Take us and our gift of money to do your work in the world. Take this food and drink from our tables and feed us from your table with your love. Accept the praise we offer through Jesus Christ our Lord. As we gather, we remember that Jesus was born of Mary. He lived our common life on the earth. He suffered and died for us. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. And he is always present with us through the Holy Spirit. In his presence and in the company of all the people of God, past, present, and to come, we celebrate the supper of the Lord. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. And here again, the narrative of the institution of this feast as they are given by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus and following his example, we take this bread and this wine. And as Jesus gave thanks, so we give thanks. Let us pray. God, we thank you for bread, for the bread broken with the brokenness of humanity, the bread shared in the name of Christ, the bread feeding the hungry and giving life to the world. God, we thank you for the wine poured out in the creation of a new humanity, the wine spilling over in sacrificial giving, the wine poured out in the struggle for justice and giving joy to the world. God, as we take and share bread and wine, may we know your living presence in every friend we greet, in every conversation that we have, and in every stranger that we acknowledge, until all share in joy at your holy feast. Amen. He took bread, gave thanks, blessed it, and broke it and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." And he took the cup and said, "This is my blood shed for you." The body of Christ. the blood of Christ. So we pray. Beneath the insurmountable is God. Above the unfathomable is God. Beyond the indescribable is God. Calm us when the way ahead seems impossible. Hold us when we are out of our depth. Cherish us when our world turns ugly, that we may know that one day we will skip like lambs who have been shepherded to streams of living water, and that this time of worship and bread and wine is a foretaste for us of a heavenly banquet when all will be gathered in. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's join to sing again. So as Cathy has already hinted at, we have to formally adopt the accounts. Martin has a list of fund and frivolity known as the delegates and representatives. So that needs to be done formally. We're going to say the grace together and then move into the formal structure of the meeting, which I have to tell you will not take long. Famous last words, will not take long. That's me giving you a warning. So let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Be with us all. evermore.
Amen.
Right, you unmute yourselves. I beg you. Please. Martin, you're allowed to unmute yourself. And we know, you know, in the reality of physical life, some people have to leave and come back. That's totally reasonable, but I just want us to crack on. Martin, do we have an apologies for absence?
No specific.
Nobody's telling me anything anyway. The minutes of the August meeting, have they been circulated?
There's been a summary put in the newsletter, and if people want to have the full copy, they can.
And I guess matters arising are covered in other places. Kathy, would you talk to us about the trustees' report, please?
Yes. Each year, the trustees must send an analysis of the accounts and a report to the Charity Commission. The elders have recently been sent the paperwork and will comment on it at the next elders' meeting on the 15th. Once the document has been agreed and the accounts have been scrutinised by the accounts will then be scrutinised by the independent assessor. And then they will be presented to the Charity Commission. Now, church members can have copies of the report or the accounts on request. We are...
their lines. I can see.
I'm hoping that that church will feel in a position to go forward with adopting the accounts today.
Could I ask you please to mute yourselves? If you just check that wee red icon in the corner, that's great, because you might not be intended to speak, but we still be hearing you. Unless you want to speak, in which case I'm very glad to hear you. Are you feeling okay about us adopting the accounts, which will be independently examined? Jean, is that you? Good. That's proposed by Kathy Seymour, seconded by Martin Verge. All those in favour, would you please show? Anybody against? Thank you very much. And as Kathy said, if you want to see the trustees' report, if you want to see a full set of the accounts, you are most welcome so to do, and they will be sent to you. Moving on to item 5. Martin Verge talked to us about the church appointed delegates and representatives.
Okay, thank you. So I will share the screen with you and we'll go through them. I'll leave them on the screen long enough for you to have a look, because I think it's important that we read the names, but I propose that we adopt them all as one chunk at the end, if that's okay. So I'll just share them now, hang on. So the first few are all people that we pay for their services, but still valuable contributions nonetheless. And there's two screens of church officers and appointments. And there's been a few added as a result of the COVID situation, but we thought it was important to acknowledge the work people are doing. You've had enough to see those. These are all people leading groups on our behalf from within our community. Okay, and then these next set, as you're probably aware, these are people who are representing us usually in external groups of one sort or another. So it's good that we are sort of visible and we're taking an active role in these external groups. Okay, so that's the full list. If you're happy to accept and gratefully acknowledge all those contributions, that'd be great.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin. Now I'm on to item 6. Does anybody have any members' time that they would like to, any issues they would like to raise with us?
Sorry, I would just like to sort of think about shoeboxes. We are sort of not past time when we should have thought about it, really. I don't know how we can do it this year physically, but there is provision for people to send a donation of £10, and the Link to Hope will fill a box for you with your name and, you know, details on it and a message. And I thought maybe that was the way we should go this year. I don't know how other people will think about that.
Have they checked whether they will be allowed to send boxes across frontiers in the present?
I don't know. I think they are. Yes, they have. I think they can still send boxes. I don't know how they have done that, but I presume they will put them into quarantine and then send them. I'm not sure.
Because one possibility is to send money, which can then be used to generate purchasing power.
Yes, yes, precisely. Mm-hmm.
So if you're happy in the past and you would like to be a part of the Link for Hope scheme, the shoeboxes, their suggestion is £10, and try and find a way of sending. Janine is coordinating this, so I expect you to be grown-ups, and Janine will coordinate that for all of us. Or if you want to make it into your, you know, put an envelope into the church and label it, then we will pass that on as well.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other matters? Any other matters? Jean.
I wondered what was happening to the food bank this year on Harvest Sunday, second Sunday in October. Is there some means that we could leave some bags of food at the church if we were given a list of what was required?
Okay, thank you.
Those of you who are in Surbiton, it's not the Surbiton Food Bank, but there is a food bank opposite Sainsbury's that collects food and has a list of what they want. So that would be a possibility if people wanted to do that.
Yeah. We can certainly find out, get in touch with Paul Pickaver and ask him. I mean, as regards the food bank, because of, like every other organisation, because of the age of their volunteers, they have changed how they are doing the food bank, and they've moved out of the United Reformed Church into Every Day, and they've got a trestle table set up and bags, you know, with all the issues about touching. So they're administering it in a different way. But yeah, we will be in touch with them about what their needs are and wondering with Paul about how we make it happen. Any other matters? Teresa James?
Just back to the food bank. I can't remember how I got there, but there is a website from the food bank where you can go into an interactive map and find out the nearest collection point to where you live or where you happen to walk. So for instance, there are two places really near where we live. So it is actually possible, without going anywhere near to where you might not want to go, to put things in boxes which are then collected by somebody who's organising that. So it's really easy. There's loads of little red dots all over the borough.
Thank you. Don't want to cut the discussion short. Similarly, don't want to keep you all here for longer than you need to be. So just seeing Margaret Golding there, let me tell you about Margaret Golding and the ecumenical life that is in their house at the minute, which is in the front room. Sue Shipton is part of Emmanuel in Surbiton, and in the back room, Margaret Golding is part of the Unite Reformed Church. What a laugh. And it's just part of the joy of this time, I guess. Any other things to be said? The date for our next meeting is the 11th of October. Shall I give you 2 minutes on 5 o'clock on Sundays? We had our first 5 o'clock last week. The worship space looks like it's an exam hall. All the chairs are set out, separated from one another. Sanitize hands. Everybody has to fill in the check-in trays. Masks on. And the vibe on the streets was, it felt okay. The singing was happening at the front, which you were allowed. Then you have to have 3 meters from anybody in case of spit. And then we listened. We didn't join in. It felt like God was worshipped, and that's the shape of it. Today will be a bit different because it's the annual general meeting and we're going to repeat some of the reports, but that will be unusual. Usually there will be two different acts of worship. And I'm happy to, anybody to phone me up and chat to me about it. But those who were there felt that they were safe. But that's not me saying, and you lot should be there. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that those who were there felt it was safe, and others of you, many of you, need to be staying at home. That's what it is.